welcome to Business, well, Time for Success, Business Owner Death Edition. And this is Matt Barbie, your host. And this is the show where we dive into what it's like to try to succeed in all areas of life with fatherhood and business and whatever else success means to you and our guests. And again, my name is Matt Barbie. I'm the CEO of Time for Success, and I just love working with business owner dads to be able to put the systems in place to be able to create that business that gives them and their families the lives that they dream of. And so that's really the passion behind the show. And today we've got Mr. Networker himself. He actually wrote the book on networking, right?
Yeah. Thanks, Matt. Yes. Yeah.
James Canada. Hey, Jim. How's it going today?
Good, Matt. Thanks.
Thank you.
I'm honored to be here.
Hey, man. It's great having you. So he is the founder of Alliance Technologies. So tell the audience a little bit more about what you do with Alliance.
Well, Alliance Technologies is an infrastructure company, and as a matter of fact, we're about to branch out into Alliance Business Solutions and Alliance Advisor. So we're expanding our company, but we started out originally as an infrastructure company with two other partners, so I'm a co-founder.
Excellent. Yeah, so you're one of the co-founders. Awesome. And so tell the audience a little bit more about your family.
Wow, I've got four kids, one daughter, and three sons. And in my early years in the corporate world, I was constantly traveling all over the world. And I remember my one time I came home, and my wife said, "Hey, that's not the way we do things. Don't you have some place to go?" And I thought, "Oh, I need to get off the road and sleep in my own bed at night. I think I need to form my own company so I can give back."
Oh, all right. We're going to have to dig more into that for sure. So, all right. So, man, four kids, and that had to be busy early on.
My wife and I had to split up, and of course, she would take, when the teachers would share the curriculum and things, she would take two of the kids, and I'd take the other two, and then we'd share notes when we got back home. We had to limit them to really just two activities. We just couldn't keep up with it. Some of the families out there that have three, four kids, they know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. So how long have you had Alliance Technologies?
We started 10 years ago. Actually, November 7th is our 10th anniversary. Having a big party at the Ritz. Oh, we're going to invite you, Matt.
Oh, you are?
We will. Like, we'll invite you and about 300 others that we got on our list.
Well, thank you. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's going to be.
Yeah. Just don't ask me to dance. I don't know about
all that. No dancing, but we'll have a big round of beef for you there. You can get a sandwich.
Beef is good. Sorry for all the vegan and vegetarian listeners out there.
I apologize. Turkey, too. We're going to have a breast of turkey.
Right. And I'm sure
some veggies. Yeah, we're going to have veggies. Cheese and crackers. There we go. So we'll cover everybody.
Yeah. Right. Well, that sounds 10-year anniversary. That's great. So, I mean, your kids must have really grown up quite a bit just being in an entrepreneurial family a good chunk of their lives.
Actually, I spent 30 years in the corporate world.
Okay.
With John Deere and American Airlines and Reuters and Stone Carly and Holler and Dutzman. But to me, it was a way that I could create a book, which I did, called Corporate to Entrepreneur. It symbolizes a toolbox, which has all your experiences. So I've been a COO, a CFO, a director of HR, and pretty much everything, which led me to start this business because I was consulting internationally, and I thought, wow, if these companies would just pay me a percentage of what I was saving them, I'd be a multimillionaire.
Right.
But at the same time, when I was traveling, I was missing my family. They were growing up without me.
Yeah.
And I had to change. I had to change something. And that's when I left the international consulting world and started to work here in St. Louis just over 20 years ago.
Yeah. So you started doing some of your own consulting over 20 years ago.
I did, yeah. Okay. My last corporate position was at Reuters. And they moved my position back to New York. And I had left and went out on my own, did some consulting for a few years. And I thought, I need to figure out how to make money when I sleep at night.
Right.
And so that was the impetus behind forming the company. I was working at a small tech company. I'm not a tech person, but I was the more of the operations and sales and business development. And I ran into a fellow named Steve Brown, and I approached him one day and said, "Steve, you ever thought about starting your own business?" He said, "Wow, just about every day, Jim." I said, "Well, you got the tech background, having managed services and cloud computing. I've got everything else, so maybe we should talk." About that time, Jared Pino came into my office and said, "Hey, I overheard you guys talking, so you're not leaving me behind. Wherever you're going, I'm going with you." So we thought, all right, well, three partners, never thought about that, but let's give it a go.
Yeah.
It was in 2009, in the depths of a bad economy.
Perfect. So, perfect time.
Oh, yeah. We thought, hey, there's no place to go but up.
Right.
And I can remember getting that first check that we received from our first company, which we still have as a client. And I looked at it and I thought, wow, somebody paid us for our expertise. Then reality hit. Oh, how am I going to live on that? And oh, by the way, I got to split it three ways.
Yeah,
so we better go get a whole bunch of new clients.
We need more of these.
Need more of these. So actually, I set out with networking. That's my first venture into it. I said, man, I got to figure out how am I going to build a business when I'm not truly a sales guy? I'm not from St. Louis. And, you know, I thought, well, I'm just going to go do what I have in the past, have a cup of coffee and listen to some people and see if I've got some ideas to share with them. And that was the start of it. And we got 70 clients in our first year of operation.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah, all through networking.
Just through coffee.
Just coffee networking, yeah.
So which coffee companies have you invested in then?
I should invest in Caldi's and Breadco and Starbucks, but, you know, those are really some cool places to,
right.
to go have a business meeting, yeah.
Well, that's excellent. That's excellent. So, man, so in that first year, how many cups of coffee would you estimate that you had?
Oh boy, I probably had 3 to 4 a day.
Yeah.
Because I had 3 or 4 meetings a day.
Right,
and,
right.
Yeah. And I think back on it, in terms of my kids, I wish I had done this so much earlier so that I could have spent more time with them and provided them more of what they really wanted.
Sure, sure. Yeah. How old were they whenever you actually formalized the company?
They were, by the time I started this company, they were in their early 20s.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. All right.
And so, so they're grown older. And gone.
Yeah,
and they,
yeah.
You know, most of them are, they're all Purdue grads, and three of the boys have their MBAs, and my daughter's very successful and doing quite well, too.
That's great.
So, nobody came home to live in the basement, thank goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. You just get like a slab home? Is that how you solve that?
I told him, you're going to a good university, so go do 30 interviews and you'll get a job offer. Sure enough, that worked.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. So you know, there's a lot of people out there in the networking world. You know, they go out there and they have lots of cup of coffees, but it doesn't always necessarily translate into business, right?
I agree, yeah.
So how... what are some pointers in terms of, so you have these cups of coffee, how do you take them next level? How do you go about, you know, getting clients from it? What are some little tricks of the trades that you can share with the audience?
Sure. Well, I put it in my book called Smart Networking for Business and Personal Success. And being an engineer, I kind of got a 3-step approach to how you do it: before meeting, during the meeting, and after meeting. So all the tips and tricks are in there, but for the most part, it's all in how you approach it. If you're there to listen and to help someone, it makes a world of difference.
Yeah.
So out of a 60-minute meeting, I will listen for 50 minutes. I'll talk for 10.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And most of the time, I'm trying to figure out, who can I introduce them to? Who can I help them get connected with? So it's really all about giving.
Yeah.
And that has been the basis of how I approached it all. Because if you give, you're not going to expect something in return right away, but it'll come back to you in multitudes later on.
Yeah.
And even the people that sit across from me and I help them, they say, I mean, I've got nothing I can do to help you right now. But yeah. I said, well, just pay it forward to someone else when you're in position to do that.
Yeah.
So if everybody pays it forward, the world would be a little better place.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. If everybody had the idea of, you know, how can I help another person, you know, if they always looked at other people first. You know, I in business, a lot of times I think we get caught up in the idea of the transaction, right?
Like exactly.
We lose that the other side of the table, whether or not it's in sales or networking or, you know, whatever that might be, we kind of forget that the other side of the table is a human being.
Yeah.
Or even in customer development or customer service, it's about another being, you know, human being.
Exactly. Well, you want to make a connection and you're really looking to have a long-term relationship with
them. Yeah.
Not just a, hey, you know, buy this, buy that. It's how can I get to know this person like Matt Barbie mm-hmm. and help him out on a radio show one day? We've known each other for how long now? Probably 2 years?
It's got to be longer than that.
Yeah.
But at least that.
Well, it feels like it.
Yeah.
It feels, you know, we have a friendly relationship.
Right.
It all started out with networking.
It absolutely did. Absolutely did. You're right.
So keep your eye on building a long-term relationship with the people that you meet.
Well, you know, and I always look at this show whenever I bring people on is like how can I get people to tell their story in a different way?
Yeah.
That helps people better understand them as a human being,
right.
You know, so that they can get that out to their audience, can get that out to their customers and people can see it and start to build that relationship a little bit more on the human being side. Not just, you know, what do they do as a business? That's one thing.
Sure.
But, you know, Jim is a family man.
Absolutely. I remember telling my kids, much like the book that I wrote in the toolbox scenario, you know, you really are managing your own career. So I've tried to teach my children to manage their own career. Don't let the company manage it for you because they're not always looking out for your interests. How do I know that? Well, 30 years of experience in the corporate world, they're checking boxes and, you know, everything is formality.
Right.
Excuse me. But so my kids have been super successful and they've moved to a couple different companies. I didn't encourage them to jump from job to job, but I encouraged them to look at each job you're doing and absorb the skills that you're getting from that. And then take it to the next position, should you choose to move on.
Right.
But you got to manage your own career, and
therefore
you'll be successful if you do that.
Absolutely, absolutely. I did a John Maxwell talk about personal growth, and most of the people that showed up, actually, interestingly enough, were people from larger Fortune 500 type companies and all that who were really struggling with meaning in their job.
You know,
they didn't feel like they had leadership that lifted them up and made them feel empowered and allowed them to really fully develop their skills.
Yeah. That's usually when people move on, when they lose respect for the leadership. And my feeling has always been, you know, provide the tools to that person to help them be successful.
Right.
And if they're successful, I'll be successful.
Absolutely.
And so it kind of relates to your kids as well. I mean, do everything you can to support their interests in what they're doing.
Yeah.
And be a good leader to them as well. And
right.
They'll respect you for that.
Right. Yeah. The mantra I kind of use in that realm is equip and empower.
Yes.
Know? Yeah.
Yeah.
You give them the processes and the tools to be successful. And then you empower them to take ownership of those, run with them, improve upon them. And that's how you end up getting, you know, lifer employees and people who are become intrapreneurs.
Right. Totally agree.
Yeah.
A couple other things I would tell my kids, which apply to business, is if you're not moving ahead, you're falling behind.
Yeah.
So never settle. Never settle. Just keep moving, keep learning, keep growing. Lifelong learning is very important.
Absolutely.
And if you find what your passion is and you work in your passion, you'll be successful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you're not growing, you're dying, right?
That's exactly right. Wow. Got to move ahead. Yeah. Otherwise, well, look what happened with Kodak. I mean, classic example. They weren't progressing into the, you know, the future in the digital world. And, you know, there was a behemoth that fell.
Yes.
And, you know, look at Amazon. My goodness, there's another example. They're not just, you know, shipping and selling certain things. You're into books. They're into movies. They keep expanding beyond, you know, the borders, so to speak.
Yeah. One thing that I see about Amazon is that even though it is a corporate behemoth, and even though, I mean, on our side, you know, it's not like we really interact, you know, through our clicks with another human being. But I don't think Amazon has ever really lost sight of the fact that there is a unique human being on the other side of that clicker.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Or that touch screen, you know, that that has certain needs, certain wants. You know, they want an ease to their experience. There's a certain, I mean, there's that customer experience that they want. And even though we don't see another human being, we don't talk to another human being, on Amazon side, they know that it's a human being that they're working with. It's not just a transaction.
And it's so easy, you know, to click on, and they send a box in a couple days if you're a Prime Amazon person.
Right.
I don't mean to give the big plugs to Amazon, but they're a classic of, man, if we're not moving ahead, we're falling behind.
Right.
We're not going to let our competitors catch up with us.
Right. Well, it's interesting that you draw that that juxtaposition there between Amazon and Kodak, because wasn't Kodak the one that first had the mouse? Didn't they first?
They might have.
I think it was Kodak, I thought. And then was it IBM that picked it up next or whatever? Because Kodak's like, nobody's ever going to use that. I remember that the first company that had the mouse didn't think that anybody's going to want to interact with it that way.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because, again, it's like thinking about that human experience, you know, they lost sight of that. So where they could have had a huge jump in terms of, you know, a user interaction.
Agreed. Yeah. Yeah. Leadership in business needs to embrace change.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is what we're talking about is change management and the fact that you've got to be open to it. So leaders need to listen to their employees because they're the ones usually down on the ground getting the job done. This is something that I believed in when I was back at John Deere. At the age of 28, I headed up a couple cost reduction programs for them that saved them $50-60 million a year. And we were listening to the employees with their ideas on how to improve production. And we knew we had to change things or John Deere was going to be bought by an international entity.
Yeah.
And look what's happened to all the other domestic farm equipment companies. They've all been bought out by somebody except John Deere.
They're
the true American company. And why? Because they embraced change. They listened to their employees. They had leadership with vision, and they still do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So take that to our companies, Matt. If we apply the same thing, we'll continue to grow and be prosperous.
So would you say that's kind of that principle of Kaizen, continuous improvement?
Oh, completely. Yeah. Something you didn't know about me probably, I would say, 25, 30 years ago. I was working with Kenjiro Yamada, Wolfgang Werner from Germany, and James McConville to start the World Association of Suggestion Programs before Kaizen became a big deal.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah. It was
early stages.
Early stages in that movement.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow. So kind of bringing it back to full circle. So, I mean, you those were days when the kids were younger, right?
Yeah.
So, and obviously you've been ingraining with them, take hold of your career, learn. So that principle of continuous improvement, Kaizen, however you pronounce it.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. How would you say that even from an early age, you went about educating them, showing them, you know, that principle?
I'd always, look at something that they're doing and see if we could improve the process. So as an engineer, everything is a process. So I was looking at things they did. I remember my middle son, Tom, would put together his little Legos and he had a bunch of gears and things with his Legos, and he would set it over by the air conditioning, the little vent in the floor, and he would just observe it spinning the wheels and turning the cogs from the air conditioning, from the wind blowing. And that's how, and he was probably 5-6 years old. At the age of 8, we had accidentally, my wife had locked our youngest son in the car. So he had been to Boy Scouts, and he learned how to open up that vehicle by using the garage door opener. Really? I don't know how he did it, but he's just had that methodical mind.
Yeah.
And today he's a mechanical engineer with an MBA and head of R&D for Southern Company's electric vehicle division.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So just constant. And he is so passionate about electric vehicles. He's on the leading edge of everything going on with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
As an example, my other sons and my daughter did the same types of things. So they just were inquisitive.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, I think that's great, though. I mean, teaching them to look at what they're doing. But, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be engineering a windmill
right.
with Legos.
No, uh-uh.
Or reverse engineering how to open a car with a garage door.
Just
did he pick the lock?
I don't like what. I don't know how he did it. My wife, I was out of town and that happened, and he fixed it, and she called me and said, "This is unbelievable. I don't know how he did this."
That's funny. That's funny. But you know, I mean, it's kind of the little things like. I mean, if we ask the kid to, you know, one of the kids to unload the dishwasher, right? You know, and I mean, you know, I'll do this with my daughter. You know, she my 13-year-old should be unloading the dishwasher or something like that. And I'm like, is it okay if I kind of show you some ways to make this go a little bit faster? You know, and just kind of talk
sure.
through some of those things.
Absolutely, I think that's a great example. One of the other things we did was have a job jar. So,
we
put a bunch of things on a piece of paper because they all needed to be participating with the family and helping the family. So my wife had put all these little jobs, you know, take out the trash, empty the dishwasher, all these things in a job jar. And each one of them would pull out one, and that was their job for the week. And then, you know, the next week they would pull out another job. And so it kept them involved.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you would put all the different jobs in the jar. You didn't have a consistent job schedule.
No, that helped create one, but you know, they got to choose what they wanted. Sometimes they would switch with the others.
Okay. Do a little bartering.
Yeah, absolutely. It was pretty funny.
Which is another skill set all on its own, right?
Yeah. But, you know, it got them involved in helping around the house. They had to learn that, you know, as a part of the family, they had to do some chores.
Yeah.
And later on in life, when my daughter went to college, she was the first one to go.
Yeah.
I remember my youngest son coming home from a sporting event, and we always had dinner together at night.
Yeah.
And so he sat down and he said, "Hey, where is everybody?" And we looked around, we said, "Well, only Colleen is missing," and then laughed because, you know, it just the family didn't feel whole because Colleen was not there. But that just said, you know, they enjoyed being around each other, and they still do today.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess you had the benefit of not having kids in the touch screen age.
I refused to get an Xbox
for the
longest time and cell phones, but I'd say go outside and play, you know, everybody's different now. There's real money in gaming, so some parents want to support that, but if that's their child's passion, then support that for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's good money, good scholarships too.
Yeah.
Well, we've got like a minute and a half left. I would love for you to just kind of quickly, again, reiterate a little bit more about what you do, maybe even where to find your books, and if they want to get a hold of you or want more information about like technology services or your books, where to find that.
Sure. Thanks, Matt. Again, Alliance Technologies is an IT infrastructure company, so we can take care of your servers and workstations. Cybersecurity, we can help prevent that. We can't help you once you've given the bitcoins up, but you get that taken care of, then we can prevent it from happening again, knock on wood.
Right.
Smart networking for business and personal success. I've given a lot of talks on it. You can find this on Amazon and pull it down. Just Google James H. Canada and the name of the book. Corporate to Entrepreneur is my full book, and that can be found at graphicconnections.com.
Great.
So okay. AllianceTechnologiesLLC.com is our website. You can find me out there, and happy to help.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in today, Jim. Really, really appreciate it. And really appreciate your insights. And Kaizen is probably the word of the day.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Many people haven't heard of it. But hey, thanks. It's a pleasure, Matt.
Thank you.
I'm honored to have you on.
Thank you. Yeah, honored to have you here. This is again, this is Matt Barbee with Time for Success, Business Owner Dad's Edition. And if you want to find out more information about creating a business that gives you and your family the life that you've always dreamed of, 314-441-5423. Thanks.